Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Podcaster here at Mile High Sports, coming to you Tuesday, February 25th. The Avalanche have wrapped up practice here just a few hours ago, and I want to chat about what we saw at practice, what we saw on Sunday, and of course, starting Wednesday, the upcoming six-game homestand that begins against the New Jersey Devils. So starting with practice, Valeri Nichushkin skated on the second line, centered by Casey Mittelstadt, with Jonathan Drouin on the other wing. It's looking more like he'll be ready to return against the New Jersey Devils by the time you hear this podcast. It might already be Wednesday. We might already have news. But Jared Bednar was not willing to confirm that just yet. Bednar chose the route instead of, we'll see tomorrow. And by tomorrow, he means morning skate. That's what will determine when or if Nichushkin is ready to play. It sounds to me like he's ready to play, but for many, many, many obvious reasons, if I'm Jared Bednar, I'm not making that claim and that statement until the day of the game. Juuso Parsonen skated on the top line as a fill-in in center between Marty Natchez and Arturi Lehkonen. Not because Nathan MacKinnon has anything wrong with him, but because Jared Bednar gave MacKinnon, Taves, and Cale Makar all the day off on Tuesday, given the fact that they went straight from the Four Nations into a back-to-back. He gave them Monday and Tuesday off, come back to work Wednesday morning, rested and reset. Those guys struggled a little bit on Sunday, understandably so. All the Avalanche did. A lot of what we saw on Saturday against the Nashville Predators, we did not see on Sunday against the St. Louis Blues. The Avalanche played a worse game than they did on Saturday. Still only scored one goal, still scored first before losing, and came away with 0 points in a very disappointing back-to-back. A lot of reasons why that happened, of course. Your top three guys all playing coming out of the Four Nations break doesn't help. Valeri Nichushkin not being back, and those are pretty much the two big reasons, and those are things that you can fix. I do want to kind of jump into a Cale Makar quote from this past weekend, on Sunday specifically, a Jared Bednar quote, and what it means moving forward. So if you go back to Sunday's loss against the St. Louis Blues, Cale Makar said, "I think every single guy on this team, we got to prove to management that this should be a group that they invest in. If we keep having games like this, it's going to be hard for them to justify it." Jared Bednar went on to say, talking about the lack of offense that he's getting from the forward lines, not on his top lines, he said, "All three of those lines, if you look through how many of the games, how many of those guys have gone 10 to 12 games with just a point or two, it's the bulk of them. And then this one is the zinger. I think it's something we have to understand. We are not this high-flying, high-powered offense anymore. We have to do other things better than we had to do in the past." This was something I asked Logan O'Connor about today, given the fact that Logan O'Connor is one of the only guys on this team who's been around for that long, and he agreed. And I think it's something that this team is starting to realize, and it's something that they have to fix quite a bit here. At trade deadline this offseason, there's a lot that's going to happen between now and, you know, mid-July, mid-August or whatever, by training camp next year, let's call it, because I see a scenario where the roster that we are currently seeing on the Colorado Avalanche on Tuesday, February 25th, is going to look a lot different in 4, 5, 6 months. This team is in a very big transitional phase. And how much they can get done between now and the trade deadline is going to determine a lot of how they kind of handle the upcoming few months after that, leading into the offseason, and of course, July 1st with the rising cap and everything. But that's a conversation for this summer. Right now, I want to go back to that Cale Makar quote because that says a lot. We need to basically prove to the front office that we are a team worth investing in. That's a big one. That's Cale Makar admitting that right now this team doesn't look like a team that you should be trading off and selling off assets for. Which brings me to this upcoming six-game homestand is going to be season-defining. Specifically, you have four games, February 26, February 28, and then you got the first, the second, and the third without a game before you play March 4 and March 6. 4 games separate the Colorado Avalanche from the trade deadline. You have the New Jersey Devils, who you shut out in their barn. They're in a playoff position. You have a big game on Friday against the Minnesota Wild. The team you are chasing, you got to win that game, no questions asked. Then you got the struggling Pittsburgh Penguins, the struggling San Jose Sharks. Those are 4 games that are all winnable. What happens over these next 4 games is going to determine a lot. In fact, what happens over the next 2 games is also going to determine a lot, because with the first and the second and the third off, the Avalanche have a lot of opportunities to do a lot of crazy things in those 3 days between February 28 and March 4th. So I'm really curious to see how they handle it. I'm really curious to see what they do there. How this homestand goes is going to say a lot about if the Avalanche are going to be aggressive buyers or just conservative buyers. Are they only going to look for moves with players with term, or are they going to go and look at guys that might have that might be rental options? How many assets are they willing to trade off? I don't think this is the year that you're going to go all the way in for it, but that doesn't mean you still can't make a run for the Stanley Cup. That doesn't mean you can't get a healthy Valeri Nichushkin, shore up your defense and your center position, bring in 2 or 3 guys total, just like you did last year, and find a way to fit all the pieces together and go for a run. You still have Nathan MacKinnon. You still have Cale Makar, Devon Taves. It feels so damn weird to not say you still have Mikko Rantanen, because you don't. You have Marty Natchez and Jack Drury now. But I'm really curious to see how they go from here. I wrote about it in my weekly column on Monday. Is this Avalanche season worth saving? And kind of the crux of the article is this. Ever since the 6-game winning streak ended back on January 2nd, if you guys remember, the end of the 6-game winning streak, or I should say the 6th and final win of that winning streak, was the game against the Buffalo Sabres where Wedgwood got hurt, Colorado made an epic comeback, and Jared Bednar snapped after the game. Ever since then, it's been 20 games. Also means it's been 1/4 of the season. The vibes were immaculate back then, not so much anymore. And here's why. In the 20 games since the 6-game winning streak came to an end, the Avalanche are 9-9-2. Every single game was played without Valeri Nichushkin. Obviously, that in itself is a problem. It's well documented. The Avalanche's record with Nichushkin, it's a hell of a lot better than the record without him. So having him back as early as, like I discussed a second ago, this upcoming Wednesday, would be a massive boost, and there's no denying that. However, I'm genuinely curious this time around if it's enough. Nichushkin played with Mittelstadt for a lot of the time Nichushkin was healthy, and Lekkonen and Drouin and Rantanen, and if it wasn't Drouin, it was Ross Colton, but Rantanen, Lekkonen, and Nichushkin, all 3 of those guys were healthy for a lot of the time that Mittelstadt was struggling. And it didn't quite, bring his game back up to where it was in October. But if you look at these last 20 games, 9-9-2 isn't going to cut it, number one. Number two, here's how the offense looks outside of the top 4 guys. So you got Nathan MacKinnon, and I'm talking strictly forwards. Obviously, Cale Makar is a big producer too. You got Nathan MacKinnon, Arturi Lekkonen, Jonathan Drouin, and Marty Necas, who obviously replaced Mikko Rantanen halfway through that 20-game stretch. But here's what we got. Casey Mittelstadt, second line center, has 1 goal, 6 assists, 7 points in the 20 games, and he has got the most points of any forward not in those top 4. Bad, bad, bad. That means over the last 20 games, 1/4 of your season, and this isn't in October, this is at the part of the season where you're starting to fight for positioning, where you're struggling to catch other teams for this reason. You've only won 9 of 20 games, and you've only gotten 500%, or sorry, 500, you have a 500 record in terms of points. You've gotten half of the points that are available to you. That means your 5th best forward in a stretch of hockey that's 25% of your season isn't even on pace for 30 points. Bad, bad, bad. Alex Newhook used to be like your 10th best forward when you won the Stanley Cup. And yes, I know the 2022 team is easy to compare to because that was a completely different roster and a much better team than pretty much a lot of teams we've seen in the salary cap era. But Alex Newhook used to be like your 10th best option, and that dude was putting up 30-plus points. Casey Mittelstadt, 1 goal, 6 assists in the 20-game stretch. Second place, Juuso Parsonen, 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points. Logan O'Connor and Parker Kelly each have 2 goals and 2 assists, 4 points in 20 games. Ross Colton and Joel Kiviranta each have 1 goal and 2 assists in 20 games. In a fourth of the season, Ross Colton has 3 points. He is on pace for a 12-point season if this entire 20-game stretch was allocated over a full year. Brutal. Miles Wood, 0 points in 9 games. He missed the other 11 because of an injury. But every single guy that replaced him, 7 AHL call-ups who combined for 21 games, zilch, 0 points. So if you put the 7 call-ups and Miles Wood, combine them together, that is a total of 30 games because sometimes you had 2 call-ups in the lineup at once. That is a total of 30 games and 0 freaking points. The last forward I'm missing is Jack Drury, 2 goals in the 10 games since the trade. Here's where it gets tougher. Here's where the numbers start to hurt a little bit more. In this 20-game stretch, Nathan MacKinnon has been asked to carry the team. He's done all he can, and he's been pretty much asked to do more than he has in years past, and that includes the 2023 season. But still, Nathan MacKinnon is over a point per game, but he's only got 23 points in these 20 games, and he still leads the NHL in points, but 23 points in a quarter of a season is not Nathan MacKinnon's standard. That's, and I can't believe I'm saying this, only a 92-point pace. For someone who puts up 100-plus, for someone who came off 140, for someone who leads the league in points, 23-20 is not up to par. And I'm not blaming him at all. The dude is being asked to do everything. He's done all he can to carry this team. Jonathan Drouin's next on the list. He's got 15 points in 19 games. We love that. Arturi Lehkonen, 9 goals, 14 points in 20 games. We also love that. Marty Natchez has 9 points in 10 games, replacing Mikko Rantanen, who only had 8 points in his last 10 games. And we've talked about this before, the tough 5-game homestand that ended the career of Mikko Rantanen with the Colorado Avalanche. Not directly, but that was the end of his career. Even Rantanen, he had a bit of burnout before he was dealt, and he too was being asked to carry a bigger load than usual. So if you combine Rantanen and Natchez into one person, your top 4 forwards, Nathan MacKinnon's got 23 points in his last 20. Rantanen and Natchez together have 17 points in their last 20, which is way below standard for both of those players, and especially for what you've been getting from Rantanen for the last 3 years. Next on that list, Drouin, 15 points, Lehkonen, 14 points. Those are both great for your being your third and fourth best option on, or second and third best option on the wing. And then obviously without Val Nichushkin, you've had to use all these other guys who are not producing, kind of as we've discussed. So can they solve all this at the trade deadline? I don't know. But what happens over the 6-game homestand is going to determine a lot, especially these next 2 games, and then especially even more than that, the next 4 games, which obviously brings you right to March 7. This team is, they're kind of in a bit of a crossroads, and that's something that I'm going to talk about a lot over the next few months, and there's a lot to write about with this roster, but that's where they are right now. This homestand means the world to the Avalanche, and I really want to see how they come out. Are they going to come out and do what they got to do, or are they going to come out and struggle like they did the last time they had a big homestand, the 5-gamer, which ended with Mikko Rantanen being sent out the door? We'll see how it plays out. But that's all for me today. I'll have another podcast coming out tomorrow, Wednesday, February 26th. It will be about the upcoming trade deadline because version 3 of the Colorado Hockey Now Avalanche trade board is out. And I want to talk about that. So if you made it this far in the podcast, bless that pretty little heart of yours. Let's make hockey for everyone. And we out you.